Thank you, Kurt. You can applaud for the Word of God every time. Good morning. My name's Jeff. If you're visiting this morning, I'm one of the pastors here, and we are in a series on Ephesians, and we're in chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. When I think about the subject that we're going to be covering this morning of unity in the body and working together, oftentimes my mind goes to the picture of a sports team. And so throughout this message, we're going to be kind of jumping in and out briefly of a story, a really incredible story of a sports team. If you've seen the movie Remember the Titans, it's based on the true story of the T.C. Williams 1971 football team in Virginia. And Coach Boone was given the task of leading, coaching a racially diverse high school football team in the heart of segregation. And so there's a lot of tension around that task. And he had to address, I think, two of the major topics, themes that we see in our passage today. So let's introduce that story. So, intro to the story. Coach Boone is going to have to face two major issues that I mentioned in our passage today, maturity and unity, two things that he's going to have to produce in this group of football players. Before we dive into those, and those are going to be kind of the two topics that we cover out of this passage, we're covering 16 verses this morning that are packed with all kinds of good stuff. We're not going to be able to cover every point in there, but we're going to hit those two points. There are daily devotionals available in the back that walk you through kind of verse by verse that I'd encourage you to take for this week to really get into the application of the word, because that's most important, even more than something you might learn this morning, is actually stepping in and doing what the word is saying, what Paul's teaching us. So as we get started, do a little review. Last week, I talked about the transition that Paul's doing. So the first three chapters was Paul laying out who we are, what we have, kind of our being in the body of Christ, that he took Jew and Gentile, joined them as one body in Christ. And then last week, in the end of chapter 3, he was praying that we would be filled with power from the Spirit so that we would be established and rooted. We would be able to grasp the size of God's love for us, and that would affect us, strengthened by the Spirit and filled in a way that our lives begin to produce fruit. And as we think about the transition into chapter 4 now, it reminds me of creation. If we look at creation from the beginning with Adam, picture what that looked like. So this verse tells us that God's taking dust and he's forming this man out of dust. I don't know how he did that, so I don't know how to act it out. But he formed a man, but the man was not living. There was a point where the man was formed, but he was not a living being. And then he breathes life into the nostrils of the man, and he becomes a living being only once God puts his life into him. Okay? And so now Paul uses this imagery and uses these words like new creation. He said in Ephesians a chapter or so ago that we are a new man. Jew and Gentile are created into one new man. Okay, it's like we're witnessing a recreation, a new creation. Okay? And he points to this in multiple different places when he teaches, but if you picture it through the book of Ephesians, you can see this new creation playing out. First, he starts with the creation, the dust forming. Okay, he's taking Jew and Gentile, and through Christ, he's creating. And the word even says that Jesus was the creator. The word was God, the word was with God, and all things were created through him. Okay, now Christ is involved in this new creation as well. Jew and Gentile, now there's this one new man laying there. Okay, this new man. And then what happens? Paul prays that the Spirit, the breath of God, the Spirit would fill that new man, and that new man would now be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so now he's breathed this life into this new man. Okay, so that's phase two. Now, the last phase with Adam was after he breathed life into him, he became a living being, he put him in the garden, said, tend the garden, eat all these fruits, don't touch this tree. So there was a calling for Adam. He knew what he was supposed to do. He knew what his life was about. And so he did that. Now Paul is in that phase of Ephesians with this new creation. Okay, he just prayed for that Spirit to empower and bring that life to this new man. And now this new man is called up to a life and a purpose. And that's what we're just starting in the first part of chapter 4. And the rest of the book is talking about what that looks like to live in the garden and tend it and, you know, eat these fruits but don't eat this fruit in the context of now we as the body of Christ. So as we look at that, just thinking about that, we see that he starts by illustrating unity and maturity are going to be foundational in us stepping into this calling. Okay? So I want to have a little discussion with you about maturity and unity. Okay? So let's start with the chicken or the egg question. What came first, the chicken or the egg?
Chicken.
The chicken. Does anybody disagree with that? Okay? We got one back here. Should be good. You think the egg came first? Wow. Okay. Okay, so there's differing opinions on that. And that's okay. Yes?
God created all things already grown.
Okay, so you say he created the chicken, and then the chicken laid the egg, and then the egg turned into a chicken, and that chicken laid an egg, and then... So he probably created two chickens, at least, right, in the beginning? So what came first? Two chickens. And then the egg that could actually... Okay, not really trying to answer that question now, but I would land on the chicken came first part, and I would love to have a conversation and hear more about that. It's a really interesting concept. So maturity or unity now. Let's move into that. Which one, if you're talking about the body of Christ and developing those two things in the body of Christ, which one comes first? Maturity, raise your hand if you think it's maturity. Okay, about 6 or 7 people. Unity? About 6 or 7 people. Okay, so there's 14 people here this morning. Both. How's that? Explain.
We're all growing in all aspects of our life. We don't focus our growth in one area, get that nailed, and then move on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they kind of interact with each other, don't they?
Yep.
And I think that's the point, is I think that it takes a little bit of maturity to start with to be willing to enter into a community, right? To even be willing to interact at a place where unity can start to develop. But you're not going anywhere with that maturity if you're not willing to interact with others. That's the the place where that grows, that maturity grows, is in community, and that's what Paul's teaching, and that's what he's going to show us through these verses. So as we look at maturity, and we look back into our story with the Titans that we're kind of following here, Coach Boone knows he has to overcome this hurdle. There's both immaturity and there's disunity going on in this group of young men. And so he realizes he's going to have to get them to start interacting together. One of the ways that he does that is he challenges them with a requirement that they have to get personal information. They have to get personal information from one of their teammates, all of their teammates of a different race, like to know personally just things about them, their life, their interests. And so we get this scene.
So what kind of music does the rapper?
It's called Me Revolting on the Temptation.
Okay. I know you want to leave.
It's always good to put a little consequence in there if you don't follow through. So that's the job he has ahead. And I think Paul moving into this phase of his letter to the Ephesians is moving into a really difficult phase because it does require challenge, and it requires motion, it requires doing, it requires being involved in each other's lives, and showing what the unity of God looks like through our communities. So let's take a look at maturity. Whoops. Let's take a look at maturity and through this passage how, and it's interesting how when we look at maturity and unity, they're all woven together. It's not like just this chunk is maturity and then this chunk is unity. They're half of this verse and half of that verse because they really are inseparable. So it says here in the very beginning, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So right here, Paul addresses maturity, and he's calling them up. Kind of like a parent, oftentimes, you may have found yourself, or as a child, you may have found yourself hearing this, the phrase, you can do better than that. Sometimes we deliver that well, sometimes it doesn't land well. But really, what's happening there is what Paul's saying to the believers. You have a calling on your life. You have a purpose. You have a design. You have an identity, which he's just laid out to the believers in Ephesus. And now he's saying, live up to that calling. And that's maturity. It says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So, Doug, you're right. In order to achieve this maturity, we have to go through unity. Okay? We have to work together. There's nobody in this room, as a believer, who's not represented in this first sentence here. Nobody. And I, you know, as a pastor, I include myself in this. There are pastors and teachers who are investing in me, and I'm stepping into works of service to build up the body as well, as one of the callings and roles that I have too. So everybody is represented here, and only through everybody stepping in and engaging that are we going to grow up in maturity. You can't get around it. I tried. When I first came to the Lord, I was convinced that I do not have to be a part of a church, do not need to attend church. I have my Bible. I now have a communication with God. I can pray to him. I can hear his voice. I do not need to interact with other believers. And I crashed and burned the first couple years of my walk with God. And it was because I was determined to prove that God's design wasn't necessary. Now, I couldn't have worded it that way. I wouldn't have said, I know I'm in rebellion here to God's design, which is outlined right here, to walk in community and be built up by one another. But that's what I was doing. And for some reason, this is extremely difficult for Christians. I mean, I meet quite a few people in just, you know, I also do window cleaning. I have a window cleaning business. I meet a lot of people. I meet a lot of Christians who don't go to church. They don't have a church community. And part of the argument for them is, this is how I've experienced church, is how I've been hurt by people, and therefore, why would I go there and continue to submit myself to that? And that's horrible. And that's not God's design or plan for you to experience community that way in the body of Christ. However, the answer is not to avoid it. Because growing through that and healing through that and growing up into maturity, there's no other way you're going to get there except through community. And so there's got to be a way to overcome that and to give grace and to be able to step back in. We just had a new member announcement this morning. Desiree and Gigi have joined as members. They've been part of the community for a while, but you know, she shared with me that was something that was a big step for her, because membership for us is not a biblical mandate, but what it is it's against the current of our culture, saying, I'm on the team, you can count on me, and I'm counting on you to help me walk through this process. And that's what our membership is about, and that's why we keep membership. We don't have to have membership, but we believe that it represents this in a tangible way that people can understand. Because as much as it's great to talk about the universal body of Christ, which is there, or to talk about the body of Christ in the U.S., or the body of Christ as a whole in Washington, or the body of Christ in Duval and the different churches, at some point, all of that is true, and we support that, and we want to be a part of that in different ways. We're sending a bunch of youth out to the Philippines on Tuesday. But it comes down to the nitty-gritty of the everyday, who you interact with and who you do life with, that you're going to play out this verse and actually move and do the work of what Christ came to do, which was to save the lost and to call his church to himself. So that brings up the point of giftings, which are touched on here. You know, there are pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets, and we see what they're doing is they're preparing God's people for works of service, and everybody is gifted in different ways as you have the Spirit in you. And people get snagged up on this topic because there's all kinds of gifting tests. I've taken a lot of them, and I think they're great, and they've actually helped me in different ways and given me a perspective on myself. So I'm not saying don't do them, but what I have seen is people are frozen to step into service and step into using their giftings because they have to discover exactly what they are first. And I don't believe that's true. I don't believe that you have to figure it out with your head how you're gifted before you step in and start to use your giftings. I think you look at what God puts before you for opportunities, and if you walk with him, not striving and just, I'm going to start doing stuff, but just let the Spirit lead you, and there's opportunities all over. I'm not just talking about Sunday morning. Our whole world doesn't revolve around this service, okay? There are ministries that are extremely powerful that are happening right now. Children's ministry is going on downstairs, over there. There's things that happen that are great, and there's places to step in and use your giftings, but it happens all week long. If you step into them, you'll discover. That's how I started to discover more about how God uniquely wired me. I didn't know for sure. Most of the time, I'm scared. I mean, when I was praying for Desiree this morning as the new member, I had my hand on her shoulder and praying. Afterwards, she came up, she's like, you're so brave. I'm like, why? She's like, I could feel your hand shaking. Oh, it was on my shoulder. Yeah, if you have the perception that I stand up here with this great confidence, I don't. But God's called me to do it, and he gives me what I need to do it when I stand up here. Do I get nervous? Yeah, I get nervous, but I step into what God's called me to do. I didn't start by stepping up and doing messages, by the way, either. Okay? So, I mean, if one of you feels like that, you can, here, go ahead. But step into something. And that's kind of, as we go through this message, I want you to be thinking about What opportunity has God put before me that I'm engaged in? Or what has he put before me that I haven't stepped into yet, but I could? Okay? Not a guilt thing, not a striving thing. It's stepping up to, living up to the calling that he has on your life. All right. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Okay, so Paul continues to use this image of the body, okay, an infant. He doesn't want us to stay as infants. He wants us to grow up into the head so that Christ represents the head of this body and we're all the other parts moving and working together. There's a lot of wind out there right now, winds of teaching, and it is easy to slowly get off course and before you know it, find yourself outside of the truth. And the body of Christ is designed to help all of us mature and stay strong and to stand on the truth so that doesn't happen. And there was obviously a lot of wind of teaching back in Paul's time too, so it's not a new thing. So let's talk about unity as well. So this is Gary and Julius, and we're going to follow their story a little bit as they kind of come to terms with what it looks like to walk in unity. They realize they're both working towards the same goal. They want to have a successful year. They want to have a successful football team. But what they're realizing, and Gary being the captain of the team, oops, scared you. Gary being the captain of the team, he's leading, and they're looking to him for leadership. But what comes up as they interact in community, which is what this training camp is forcing on them, it's kind of a picture of when we come together as the body of Christ, those things that surface, but we say, I'm not leaving because of this conflict. I'm going to walk with God and this person and work through it, totally against culture. It's very easy in this culture when we got 16 churches in a 10-mile radius to just jump to the next church. Okay? I think it's a good thing we have 16 churches. That's good. The bad thing is we use it to run from our conflicts. That's the bad part about it. Okay, so they're forced to work through this, and now they got to do this project that they've been given to get personal information from each other. All right, so let's talk about unity in the passages that we're going through here this morning. So it says, be completely humble and gentle and be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So I kind of see it like Paul's making a recipe for glue, okay? And in that glue, he's going to make it out of humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another. And then the bond of peace is going to come out of living in that way. Okay, and that's our goal, is to keep the unity of the Spirit, which he's taught already. It lives in all of us. And so there's some ways of living that we're going to have to embrace. And we're going to need the Spirit to help us with. He goes on to say that there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And so now he gives this list of, these are constants. You don't waver from these, okay? The winds can't blow you away from these things. If you are a Christian, if you are a true part of the body of Christ, you have to agree on these things, okay? Many churches out there, and we have differences, disagreements, different styles. We can't disagree on these points and still be the body of Christ, okay? There is one body. That's Jew and Gentile brought together. He's just taught on these things, okay? One Spirit that lives in all of us, the Spirit of God. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. One hope. Our hope is in Christ's return for the church and then eternity with him in heaven. That's the hope that we live with every single day. That's not fulfilled yet, but it will be. And so that's our hope that we have in common. One Lord, Jesus Christ. There's no other name by which we will be saved than Jesus. Nobody gets to the Father except through him. There's no conversation to have about that or argument outside of that. That's where it lands. Paul is just making this point by listing through these ones that we have, and this is where our unity is going to be founded on. Okay, one faith. Our faith is in that hope that we have. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. Okay, our faith is in salvation, not by works. One baptism. We're baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit. Okay? He fills us and he lives in us. One baptism. Paul says in another place, did I baptize you into the name of Paul? No. You're baptized into the name of Christ. One God and Father of all. Okay? That's the Father to which he prayed just before this passage, looking at context, to the Father to do those things, to fill us with the Spirit and to help us understand the love of Jesus. Okay? So you can't waver from those things. 7 and 8 says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Now he's going to start talking more about how unity works with the different giftings. Okay? This is why it is said, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. So it's pointing to Jesus as the one distributing these different giftings. See, unity is not uniformity. They're different. Okay? A football team is made up of a bunch of diverse people with different talents and different positions, but the unity comes that they're all working towards the same goal. They're all on the same team, and they're all working towards the same goal, but it doesn't mean they all look exactly the same. Okay? And that's the same with us, our character, our personality, our physical appearance, and the giftings that we have by the Spirit are different. Goes on about spiritual gifts here. Okay, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers are there to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Okay, and then the maturity comes, attaining to the whole fullness of Christ. Okay, so unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God is reached through acts of service to build up the body of Christ. One of the things that we're, the leaders, BJ and I, and the other leaders are really feeling led in moving forward, and I'm not going to talk a lot about it right now because we're still letting God put that together and what that's going to look like. But in the fall, we're looking at moving into doing community through home groups. And the reason I bring that up now is one of the reasons that we feel led to do that is so we can start living this out even more. Because everybody's gifted, everybody has calling on their life, everybody has something to offer as a part of the body, and just like that model I just showed of the church starts with the worldwide church and it breaks down to countries and then, you know, there's states or, you know, regions, then there's local cities and churches, and then there's your local church where you call home, where you can play this out. And then you break that down again to a small group, a home group, because like I said, we're not, the bullseye isn't for everybody to be using their giftings just on a Sunday morning service. but that we would be building each other up throughout the week. And through that, showing this picture to the world of what unity looks like and what the character of God looks like by how we love each other and build each other up. Paul's focusing on believers in this passage. Because if we don't start by building each other up first, there's nothing to invite people into that they can't find out in the world. Okay, there's got to be something here that's unattainable outside by human effort. And I believe there is. So as we look at that topic, you may be sitting there thinking, yeah, but I don't really know what my specific place is. And Paul just really continues to drive this picture home of the body, and every part is important. In Corinthians, he says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, like your big toe. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body. He's making a contrast here between how we treat our own body, really, and how we should view the body of Christ. Okay? Its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Okay? If we look at the last verse in our passage this morning, it basically sums up everything we've been talking about and everything in these 16 verses. It says, from him the whole body, joined and held together, which is a picture of unity, by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, maturity, as each part does its work. Okay? So, yes, we abide in Christ. Yes, he's the one doing the work through us. But you can't make an argument from Scripture that we're not supposed to be doing anything, that there's no motion. You know, James teaches us that a dead body doesn't move, but a living body does. If your faith is real and alive, you're going to step into the things that God empowers you to do, not in your own strength, but God empowers you to do, and there's going to be motion, okay? Every part doing its work. Now, this community is awesome. There's so many people involved in doing things, so don't hear me standing up here saying nobody's doing anything. That's not true. My call to those of you who may feel like, I don't really know what I'm doing except coming on Sunday mornings, the reason I share this with you is because you're missing out. You are a part of the body. And there is a life, there's a maturity, there's a unity that's going to grow, and we're all going to benefit as you step into that. But you have to believe it first. You have to believe that you actually have a calling on your life, like Paul started this passage with. And then you have to receive and let God lead you into that, let him empower you for that. And there's all kinds of places that you can put, you know, handles to that and actually step into it. Here, on Sunday morning, throughout the week, but also we can help you just kind of look at your life and say, gosh, you know, what areas could I step into that more? So as we just kind of finish out with our story following Gary and Julius, they had to realize, they had to come to that place, and maybe that's a challenge this morning to you, is come to that place of being able to be self-aware enough or allow God to help you be aware of where you're at with this, your posture with this. How do you approach the body of Christ? Is it an event that you go to, or is it an actual living thing? Is it a new man? Is it a body? And you're a part of that body. And according to Paul, you play a critical role. You cannot exempt yourself from that. And so Gary and Julius had to come to the point of realizing, you know what, all our players are not playing in unity. They're trying to make each other look bad. And if this is going to change, we're going to have to step up and be the change. We're going to have to stop acting immaturely and start working in unity and start calling it out in others as well, but calling out something that we're living ourselves. In case you don't know, that was actually unity right there. Football unity, okay? My encouragement to you is, like I mentioned, there are daily devotionals prepared in the back. They're designed to help you kind of journey through this more instead of just kind of take a 5-second analysis of your life and if you're being an active part of the body of Christ or not. But walking through it with God. Encourage you to talk to one of the pastors here if you feel stuck. Like I said, it's pretty common. People get stuck on this subject and feel like, what can I offer? What can I do? I don't know. It's not always so much an issue of I don't want to serve. It's feeling like you don't have something to offer. And everything's covered. Everything's not covered. Okay? Because unless everybody is doing their part in walking with God and bringing their giftings, then everything's not covered. We're incomplete. Okay? Just like a body that has one part that's sick or dying or not active. The healthy body that's going to be able to really do everything it was designed to do is going to have every part functioning. And that's our goal. So with that, I think as a part of the message as well, we are super excited that the missions team, youth team, is heading out to the Philippines on Tuesday. So if you guys want to come up, wherever you are, everybody involved with that. They're going to have their own airplane, I guess, because there's a lot of them. So Gary. Hey, Gary. How you doing?
Hey.
That was a great show you were just in there. Maybe. Yep. Go ahead.
Is this good? Okay, sweet. Awesome.
This is Garrett, not Gary.
I'm Garrett. I'm the youth pastor here. And this is our missions trip team. So these are 16 of our high school students
feedback.
Plus 6 leaders.
Sneak back here.
And the 22 of us, we're going to the
I'm not going.
Our work with a corporation called Fruit Bearers. Led by Wes and Judy. If you happen to know Wes and Judy, we're going to hang out with them starting Tuesday. So, as a part of this commissioning, Jeff expressed a heart to pray for us and to speak to God on our behalf. But we also have some gifts for our students as we get ready to go. And we'll start with this. If I can get some leaders help passing them out. What we have here, students, so you know, this is a prayer journal for you for the trip. And a lot of you already have journals, still encourage you to bring your personal ones, but the point of this one is to be able to look at all your teammates and know who's there, and if God leads you to, be able to pray for them. And then there's also a ton of journal pages, so you can keep a running diary, I guess, of events of the trip. When you get there, you're going to think, oh, this is so amazing, I'm going to remember absolutely everything. You won't. You won't. And that's okay. So the encouragement is to write, every night before you go to bed, write down the day's events. Be diligent in journaling so you can remember. There's also one of these pamphlets that we made for the church body. It's got the prayer request on it. One of the students and her mom came up with an idea. They said, let's come up with a way to track the students in the airport. So with that, this idea of creating t-shirts has come up. And the point of the t-shirt is that it has the Fruit Bearers tree on it. So this is the actual logo for the corporation. And then in the original logo, it comes with an apple. However, on these shirts, what they decided to do was find out what physical fruits, apples, bananas, grapes, have meanings tied to the gifts of the Spirit. For example, an apple signifies the gift of love, right? A peach represents the gift of peace, right? And so what we've done is, when I say we, I mean the student and her mom, painted these shirts and changed the apple to the fruit that student best exemplifies in their life so far. So students, so you guys know, we have shirts we can pass out for you, and we include included a little piece of paper that tells you what your fruit means. So you know. And these are one to tell you that we see you, we know, maybe, and you may not know this yet, but we can see how God has gifted you and how you live out His Spirit on a daily basis. And two, it's a tracking system, so we don't lose you. Very important, very important. So you guys can go ahead and pass those out. And with that, Jeff?
With that, I'm back here. If you guys want to maybe go down after you get your fruity shirt, go down to the bottom down there, off the stage. But stand down here. It's just really hard for people to kind of get up here. I'm going to ask everybody to gather around them as an act of motion, like you're a part of the body and we're moving and we're excited about this. And then I'll lead us in a prayer, but you can come up behind if you can't. Yeah, open up a lane there so that people can kind of fill the stage up behind here. Let's open up a spot here where people can come up behind. I want to get everybody up here. It's a pain to get everybody up here. That's why I love it. Here we go. Here's a lane. Yes. Okay, or you can do that. All right. Who is this? Elliot. Okay.
Not having personal space.
Yep. We're practicing Philippines personal space bubble. So, all right. So I'll just lead us in. Lord, thank you for these teens who have said yes to you. They've said yes to your calling for them and their purpose on this trip. To go minister in the Philippines. Thank you for the team leaders that are going to be following you in investing in these kids, but also in the Philippines as well. Thank you for the representation that this group is for us, that it has taken the body of Christ for them to get to this point. All the investment, mentoring, discipleship that's happened for each one of them, the physical sacrifices that people have made to give financially. Lord, we thank you for that. It's taken the body of Christ for them to go and accomplish this, and as they go, they're still a part of this body, your body. And Lord, we just lift up to you the needs, the financial needs that are still there in the next couple of days. Lord, we know you're so faithful, and we've seen it so many times. And so we trust that you're going to come through with those, meeting those financial needs. And God, we just pray physical protection over this team as they travel, as they're there in country, protection from sickness, any harm, Lord, but that they would bring your light to the Philippines. And God, not only would that be happening, but that you would be doing what we just learned about, that you would be building them up in maturity and unity as a team, as they work together and follow you in your mission, Lord. Thank you for them. We send them out with the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, grab a real quick seat.